What's up, San Diego? Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Monday, short show, shortly after 3 o'clock. We will be here till 4:30. Just long enough for the Aztecs to rally and shock Duke in the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, I like the way you're talking.
Yeah, well, I like the way I'm talking, too, but it's not likely. Not likely. Duke is awfully good. That's why they're number one in the nation. 11-point game right now. We'll keep you up to date. You won't miss a thing. But the Aztecs are missing things, Tony. If they were going to have a chance to pull off an upset, they need to hit some outside shots. They're 1-for-7 shooting the 3 right now. Duke hit 6 of their first 7. And I like the way Dutcher came out and said, hey, we got to give them something. So let's not let them get inside and dunk, make them hit threes. They did.
Yeah, 6-of-7 is really a really good start.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, you know, in this early going of the game, Aztecs they've got looks. They just haven't knocked them down. And, you know, in order to beat a number one team, you kind of need all those things to come together.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened thus far.
Not yet. We'll keep you up to date. They're late in the first half in Maui. Anyway, welcome to Gwen and Chris on this Monday. And it was a big Sunday. I don't really care, but I'll take the blame for the Charger loss. I wrote that they were probably going to go to the Super Bowl this year on Friday in my blog. And then they played like the old San Diego Chargers yesterday and just gave a game away, really, to a not very good Denver team.
I think we've learned our lesson with your blogs. You got to let it marinate.
Right.
You can't talk about it after the first week. It may seem like it's completely out of left field, but your blogs tend to come back to be right.
Well, we'll see. Chargers can't afford to play like that. They needed a first down at the end of the ball game, and they didn't manage the clock very well.
Bad clock management.
Rivers threw a ball away on third down. Probably should have just taken a knee or something. At least make Denver use one of those timeouts, because Denver needed every single second to go down and drive. I mean, it was a great drive. Give Keenum a little credit. I mean, he's had a tough year for Denver, but he drove them 85 yards, and they got the winning field goal on the final play. But that's the game that the Chargers, 14 penalties? I mean, that's what the San Diego Chargers used to do. Get everybody excited.
That is vintage San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, and then just step on their own feet and give a game away yesterday. So, but it may not matter. It may not matter if the Chargers do. It may not matter what happens tonight when the Chiefs play the Rams, a game you're going to hear on 97.3 The Fan, a game everyone's excited about, everyone's talking about. Todd Gurley said this is the game of the year. This is the game everybody cares about. The players are fired up. You know what? New Orleans Saints don't care about this game
they
tonight.
They don't.
Not the way they're playing.
No.
My goodness.
They could care less who's in front of them. They know as long as they got that number 9 guy under center, they got the two-headed monster running backs, they got Michael Thomas. They just got a whole bunch of weaponry. And listen, their defense was already the number one ranked run defense in football. They're starting to get better at the pass, too.
Oh, they completely shut down Philadelphia yesterday. I mean, Carson Wentz looked like a Division II quarterback. That's what he is.
I don't know if I've ever seen him that frustrated.
Yeah, that's as bad as he's
looked. Clearly frustrated.
Well, Philadelphia, you know, like I said, they caught lightning in a bottle last year. They got their Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to it this year.
Mm-mm.
And again, don't forget, Carson Wentz did not lead them through the playoffs.
I mean, he didn't.
People don't remember that Nick Foles was the guy that was the Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I think Wentz is a good quarterback. I just don't think he's to the level that people think he is, because they just think he's like a Super Bowl winner, and he's not. He was on a team that won the Super Bowl, and Drew Brees is a Super Bowl winner. I'm going to be honest with you. When I watch the Saints play, I don't know why they mess around with that stuff with Taysom Hill.
I don't think anybody understands.
What are they doing? It's like they're giving the other team a free playoff. It's like
he's probably running it. He's probably not passing the ball.
And he tried to pass one yesterday.
He
looked like a punter.
Every single time I've seen him pass, he's looked like a punter.
Yeah. So I don't know why the Saints are. It's like the Saints are saying, you know what? We're moving the ball so easily. We're going to give you a chance.
We want to try something different.
We just want to give you a chance. We're only going to gain 2 yards on this play, but the next one we'll get a touchdown anyway.
I think it's just as simple as forcing the other team to game plan for something extra
that
they don't normally have to game plan.
And that's actually
for.
not not dumb. Right. I mean, even if you don't do something well,
exactly.
If you do it, the other team has to prepare for it.
They have to honor it. Right.
So that's a good point. But Drew Brees has so many weapons. The running back situation, I've never seen Mark Ingram look this good. Maybe he, you know, should take four games off at the beginning of every season.
He probably hasn't been this fresh at this late in the season at any point of his career.
I mean, he's getting huge gaping holes to run through. Nobody's defending him because you're worried about Brees, Kamara, and Thomas. So the Saints beat the defending Super Bowl champs 48-7. I'd have to look it up and find it and dig and, you know, one of my trivia things. Or Will may just know off the top of his head because he knows everything. But when's the last time you saw a Super Bowl champion the next year lose a game by 40?
Yeah, it's hard. I can't
that
think
doesn't
of the
happen
top
very
of my
often.
Head.
I mean, I'm sure it has, but not very often indeed. So the Saints look awfully good. They go to 9-1 with that one yesterday. I was impressed also with the Bears last night. That was the game for them to stumble a little bit. They didn't really play well. Trubisky wasn't really on his A game, yet Khalil Mack was.
He was.
And so Chicago beats Minnesota. Now, that's the defending division champ. That's the team that you have to beat to win that division. I don't think we think Green Bay is going to get there. Chicago is a surprising 7-3 to me. Last night was the night where I go, okay, Minnesota can get control back of this division. They had a healthy Dalvin Cook who gained 12 yards. I mean, Chicago did a nice job. Their defense is so good. Matt Nagy, I think, is in the lead for coach of the year. I know there's some other guys that are there. But when you consider where the Bears started and where they are now, this guy's done a great job.
I think Matt said he was the evil genius behind the game plan for yesterday.
Well, it's worked out nicely for the Bears.
I have an update on your Eagles and Saints and defending Super Bowl champion. Well, Thomas Andrews tells me it was the worst loss by a defending Super Bowl team in NFL history.
So that's never happened before.
Never.
Wow. Never. Thank you, Thomas. Very good. So never had a 40-point loss by a defending Super Bowl champion in the history of the game. There's been 52 Super Bowl champions. So
you know what's been weird this year, though? When you look back at the other Super Bowl winners, when they start to struggle, it's like top story, like the Super Bowl hangover is. You haven't. I mean, I know the Eagles have struggled pretty much all season. It just hasn't been like a huge story like it normally is.
No.
It feels like.
No, it's.
I wonder
like,
why they're getting a pass on it.
I think to a certain extent, a lot of us expected this.
Yeah.
I think you picked the Eagles to win their division this year because the East looks so weak, and it still is kind of weak. Although Dallas thinks they're gaining momentum right now.
The crazy part is, they still could win this division at 4-6 right now.
Yeah, they're 5-5. Jerry Jones thinks.
I'm talking about the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles could still win the division at 4-6.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. Yeah. But in fact, I'd rather see the Eagles win the division than Jerry Jones if I had my druthers. Because Washington's going to be. Alex Smith broke his leg in, what, two or three places?
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you guys I can't watch instant replays because of the injuries. I happened to catch that one live. Oh, it was gruesome.
That whole situation is crazy because it happened 33 years to the day that Joe Theismann broke his leg in a
game.
Get
out of here.
And it was the same score as Joe Theismann's when it was 23-21 when Joe Theismann broke his leg, 23-21 yesterday when Alex Smith broke his leg, and
he was there.
Joe Theismann was in the building.
Yeah.
Said he couldn't even watch because it brought up so many bad memories.
Did Lawrence Taylor sack Alex Smith too?
No. It was J.J. Watt.
It was J.J. Watt.
It was J.J. Watt, a pretty good player.
It's this year's version.
This year's version. Well, that was strange.
It's a bit of the X-Files. This is the worst X-Files music.
This is not X-Files.
What are you trying to say? That what happened there was a little strange? You're trying to produce strange into the show?
If I am a quarterback playing for the Redskins on November 18, 2051, I might be calling in sick.
Oh, you mean 33 years from now, you would not step on the field if you're a Redskin quarterback?
I think I'm calling in sick.
Can you imagine that phone call? Coach, hey, listen. It's 33
years. Do you remember what happened 33
years
ago?
It's 33
years. I can't play today. I'm sorry.
Matt Scraby said that I will break my leg in two or three places if I play in this game.
I can't play. Sorry, coach.
Isn't that a thing now? Come on.
No, I don't get. Look, no, it's not a thing. It's stupid.
It's pretty crazy.
It's not even worthy of continuing to talk about.
No, that is a crazy, crazy fact.
It's a coincidence. Oh. And that music isn't making it any stranger, I'll tell you that.
I don't even think that's the X-Files music.
I don't
We're
know
not
what
allowed
that
to
is.
Use the real X-Files.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I mean, go figure football, because I can't figure it out either. The Tennessee Titans 1 week beat the Patriots by 24.
Dr. Jekyll and
the
Mr.
next
Hyde.
Week lose to the Colts by 28.
Yeah.
That's the same team, I thought. I know Mariota got hurt, but by the time he got hurt, they
were
already blown
out.
So it's crazy. Pittsburgh pulls one out of the fire. I got to hand it to Roethlisberger. He could not have looked worse for three quarters in that game. And the officials got that call right at the end of the game.
They
when
did.
He threw the pick
they
in
did.
The end zone. The guy grabbed his face
they
mask.
They got
you
all
had
three
to call
of those
that.
Calls right at the end.
Yeah, you had to call that. And Roethlisberger pulls that out. 7-2-1 for Pittsburgh. Houston pulls one out. They're doing 7 in a row. So there's your NFL stuff. When we come back, the Aztecs football team fall to Fresno State Saturday night. They are not going to the Mountain West Conference game. There's another thing that the Aztecs football team is not going to do this year. We'll tell you what that is when we come back. I'm Chris Ello.
I'm Tony Gwynn Jr.
Welcome to Gwynn and Chris.
San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
All right, back at you, Gwynn and Chris, 3:34 the time. We will be here tomorrow, full show from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Also, make your plans to join us on Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, 3 to 7. Although, I think Tony's going to get a little day off. Go get a head start on your turkey.
Yes.
Attaboy. Coach John Quintero will be with us on Wednesday. But if you're stuck in traffic, have you ever driven somewhere like on Thanksgiving Eve?
No. Yes, I have. It's
not really a good idea.
Yeah.
But if you do and you're stuck somewhere, don't forget, we'll be on the air Wednesday as well from 3 to 7, myself and the coach, John Quintero. Duke 49, San Diego State 32. That is the halftime score in Maui, and it's not because the Aztecs are playing poorly. It's because Duke is clearly that good. Zion Williamson, by the way, only made one bucket in the first half. Jalen McDaniels blocked him twice. So that bodes well for Jalen, but
those long
as you
guys
said,
can be
athletically, the Aztecs look like they match up all right with Duke. They're just not as big.
No,
but Duke is just huge.
And it doesn't help that Duke wasn't missing any outside shots for a long time.
No, when they open the game 6-for-7 for three, that's going to put you behind the eight ball. So we'll keep an eye on that for the second half. But right now, Duke is obviously in command. Chance for you to win a pair of tickets right now. Not So Silent Night. It's happening Sunday, December the 9th at Del Mar Arena. It features 30 Seconds to Mars, AJR, L. King, and Alice Merton. Tickets are on sale now at NotSoSilentNightSD.com. Or you can win a pair right now by calling us at 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. Today's trivia question, you got the Chiefs and the Rams tonight, Tony. Monday night matchup, made in heaven. Both the Chiefs and Rams have won exactly one Super Bowl in their franchise histories. The MVP of the Rams Super Bowl win, pretty easy. Kurt Warner, back at the greatest show on turf, Marshall Faulk and the gang. Who was the MVP of the Chiefs' only Super Bowl win? Oh, you're going to have to go back in the Wayback Machine for that one. Good luck. 833-288-0973.
Wasn't that the first Super Bowl?
No, the Chiefs were in the first Super Bowl
first
and
Super
lost
Bowl.
To the Packers.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
You're going way back to find this. The one that's I'll give a clue why not. The Chiefs won Super Bowl 4. And we're up to what now? Super Bowl 54?
I think it's, 54.
Something like that? My goodness, that's incredible. But who was the MVP of that game for the Kansas City Chiefs? Hey, it's going to get you a pair of tickets to Not So Silent Night. All right, did the Chargers charger yesterday? Tony, what'd you think?
Yeah, to put it lightly, they definitely chargered yesterday.
I mean, this
the Chargers
was what,
charged.
This is what we know and what we came to expect.
Became accustomed to it.
We came accustomed to it over the years here in San Diego. I mean, they're sitting in perfect position, 7-2. You know, you've got the Chiefs playing a tough game tonight against the Rams, which they very well could lose, which would be their second loss, give the Chargers a chance to pull even in the standings. They've got Denver at home, Arizona at home next week. I swear the Chargers, it's like they were looking ahead to December schedule where they got Pittsburgh and they got the Chiefs and they got some tough games because Denver's not a good team. And Denver played with them the entire game, and I know the Chargers blew it at the end. Poor clock management.
They're a mediocre team at best.
But the fact that Denver was with them the entire game was what put the Chargers in that position. Rivers throws for 401 yards, but it's not nearly enough. You would think with Bosa back, they'd be able to get a little more pressure on Case Keenum. They sacked him 3 times, but or actually, I beg your pardon, they sacked him 0 times. I'm looking at the other side. Zero sacks for the Chargers
yesterday.
That's
with Bosa in a game.
That's with Bosa back in the lineup. He made one tackle, so I don't know how many. He hit the quarterback once. That's good. But anyway.
That's good.
I thought that he's making a lot of money to hit the quarterback one time.
That's good.
How much money is he getting per quarterback hit? It's probably a better question to ask.
I look at the numbers in this game, and I don't think 18 carries is enough for Melvin Gordon. I really don't.
No, I like when they run the ball, but they weren't running it that effectively. He was only getting about 4 yards a carry, and the Chargers didn't even get to 100 yards rushing in a game that they were winning most of the game. Usually when you're winning, you're right. You run it a little more. You protect
the clock. If you're getting
clock.
Almost 4 yards a carry from your guard, from your running back, I think you keep handing the ball
keep
off.
Keep going.
I mean, especially when you're considering the fact that the Broncos were in the game the whole time, clock management becomes that much more important, not just at the end of the game where they clearly mismanaged the clock, but if you're running off time while you have the lead the entire game, that's less time that the other team is on the field.
Yeah, and the Charger defense, I don't know where they were against Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah, this
he averages 7 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns for Lindsay. That's a loss that the Chargers should not take, but as an old San Diego Charger fan, I guess we could all see it coming. A lot of people, I think, saw that final score, watched that game, and said, yep,
I've seen that before.
I've seen that one before. So now, you know, instead of having a chance to tie for first place, they go back to 7-3. They're still in decent position, but they've got a tough December schedule. It's possible that they could let this whole thing get away. I felt they needed to win this game. They get Arizona next week, go 9-2, and then, you know, you got a chance to make a little noise in the postseason. But the Chargers blew it, and that is not something brand new.
How about Keenan Allen's comments after the game? Did you see that?
No.
They were asking him about, he basically said that Denver sucked and that...
He said that?
He said that they sucked and that the only reason why Denver won that game is because we turned the ball over and gave them more opportunities.
Well, that's stupid to say. It's just, I mean, it might be true, but it's stupid to say. You just look, it never is a good look when you get beat and you complain. Yeah. Sour grapes never look good. If you beat them, I mean, plus, not only that, you got to play him again this year. It wasn't smart either.
His exact quote was, no, I don't think they played well at all. We dominated the game, turnovers, we gave them some points, and that's what happened. They suck.
They suck? I'm a little confused as to what he was saying there, Tony. I couldn't quite get it. Chargers did outgain them by 150 yards. But gave back 120 of those yards with the penalties.
That's right.
So that's his poor play and no sacks. I mean, this is a, like we said, a mediocre Denver team, mediocre offense, nothing to really worry about. Didn't get to the quarterback once, didn't force a turnover. I mean, that's just a defenseless game where the Charger defense makes no plays the entire day.
What about Phillip and how he handled the end of the game when he threw the ball at the ground with less than 2 minutes to go?
We talked about that. I mean, I think the clock management was poor, and yeah. I think Phillip would be the first to say, I made a mistake on that one play, but they shouldn't have been in that position. That's my thinking in this game. This is a team that you should dominate. You should be up by a couple of scores at the end of a ball game. They weren't. And that made that last play by Rivers a little bigger than it seemed.
I wonder, was Phillip turned up a little bit too much? I haven't seen him chirp as much as he chirped yet.
He looks crazy this year.
Like, I haven't seen him chirp that much in a long time. Him and
you know
Chris
why?
Harris were going at it all game long.
You know why I think he's chirping a little bit more than usual? Because I think he realizes that he has a chance this year.
Yeah, that may be true.
I think that he feels like, you know what? We have a shot. We have a real shot this year. I mean, yes, the Chiefs are there. The Patriots seem beatable. At least from time to time, they're beatable. Pittsburgh is still not a dominant 7-2-1. I would take their record, but, you know, they don't blow people out. I think Phillip Rivers felt like, you know what? This is our year, and he let a game slip away yesterday that they had no business letting slip away. So we'll see if it comes back to haunt the Chargers without question. Did we have anything from Rivers after the game?
A lot of penalties. We got to clean that up. And then just didn't close out the game. Again, not taking the sack there. Just not finishing the game. We had it right there to end. Just did some things that were uncharacteristic of our 6-game run we've had. So now we got to get that all cleaned up. Get back to work.
We want to hear from you guys out here. Do you guys think the Chargers pulled a Chargers yesterday? What do you think? Give us a call. 833-288. 0973. We want to hear from you guys on that.
Yeah, want to hear from the closet Charger fans who were heartbroken.
The closet
and the fans that hate them now. Were you happy that they got beat yesterday so that they fall back in the race a little bit? You don't have to worry so much about them making noise in the postseason. Give us a call, like Tony said, 833-288-0973.
Does anyone else want to watch be a fly on the wall for when Will watches these games? Our assistant producer.
I know. If he's watching by himself, I guarantee he's talking to himself the entire
game. Oh, he's psychotic. He's pacing. People are like, who's that crazy guy over there? He's just insane.
Here's the thing. I don't need to watch Will watch a game because I've seen myself watch games before. I know what I do.
Good comparison.
And I'm bananas. I'm gonna share something, and this is going way back, and this is the game I talked about, the Charger Dolphin greatest game ever in the 80s. All right, whatever, don't give me a laugh. I know you guys didn't remember the game, but it was a classic game. I was watching the game in a hotel room by myself in Honolulu, and at halftime when the Dolphins hit the hook and ladder play to score a touchdown, I screamed so loud that hotel management came to the room and told me to quiet down the party.
The party?
I was the only one there. There was no one there. It was just me watching the game by myself.
I could totally see that.
So that is, I'm a crazy fan when I watch, and that's why I like watching games by myself, because I don't want anybody telling me,
I don't want you intruding
Chris, you
on
look
my,
like an idiot.
Yeah,
I know I look like
fandom.
An idiot. My wife used to love it before they went to the DVRs and you taped everything and you kind of watched it or whatever. When the Bulls were making all their championship runs, I back in the 90s pretty much watched all those games live. Well, I was so nervous during those games when they'd get to the semi, the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons and the final series. I'd get so nervous, and I'm sure you're probably the same way watching the Lakers.
Exactly the same way.
You get so nervous at a basketball game, but when they would take a commercial break, I didn't know what to do with myself.
You start pacing.
No, you know what I did? I would clean the house. My wife loved it. Every time the Bulls played a basketball game, the house was sparkling by the end of the game because I'm cleaning the windows, I'm washing, I'm vacuuming. It was just crazy. So, look, I think I don't need to watch Will watch a game because I know how crazy I can get.
I'm the same exact way. Laker, I prefer to be alone.
Me too.
I don't want you cheering for the other team if you're in my room. I kind of need my space.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Give me my 2.5 hours.
Yeah, just give me my time and let me just... And then if my team loses,
I'm kind of in a bad mood.
Let me be in a bad mood.
I'm
too.
The same way.
Let me be there. It means that much to me. Let me be there. Let me
my space. Let me let it marinate a little bit.
It's just a game. Quiet.
Clearly, it's a game.
Yes, we know that it's the most important, unimportant right. thing in the world. But
or it's they can't hear you, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I know you can yell at the TV, but I'm just talking about when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, don't worry about it. There'll be no, I'm mad.
Like, get out of here. Leave me alone.
I'm not pleased with this. Anybody else like us? 833-288-0973. Phil in San Diego's on the phones joining Gwen and Chris on this Monday. How are you,
What's
Phil?
What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, bro.
Just think, Tony, your dad was the best. He's the bomb. I miss him so much.
Me and you
Anyhow,
both.
The Chargers, man, it was not a surprise that they blew it. They do not, even back when they had, when they were doing well with LT, there are times when they would let their foot off the gas and get conservative. Yesterday the Saints were up like 37-7 and still throwing dimes. What is the problem with the Chargers coaching staff? Are they afraid? And sometimes I feel they play not to lose. And that's been the motto for years. So I'm not surprised they lost. I kind of laughed about it when Rivers threw that pick.
Well, I think you hit a lot of very good points there, Phil. I mean, you've got to keep the foot on the gas. I want to talk about those Saints a little bit because they might have put a little too much gas on that game yesterday. But he's right. I mean, it's the National Football League. You don't have to worry about somebody else's feelings, hurting their feelings.
No,
you can do what you want and beat them as bad as you have to beat them. And I just don't think the Chargers got up for this game the way they needed to. They were not as prepared. They got ahead a little bit early, missed on a couple of touchdown drives, had to settle for field goals. Next thing you know, you look up, they're trailing, and they're in a battle.
And listen, playing against a mediocre team is an excuse, because that's virtually who they've been playing all year long.
That's
and
fair.
Yet they've been getting up and playing the way they're supposed to. To me, it's like you said, Chris, they clearly just didn't get up for this game, because this wasn't the Charger team that has been playing all season long.
No. Good phone call, Phil. Appreciate that.
We got another one. Chris from San Diego, you're on the line.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to the Gwynn and Chris Show.
How you doing today?
We're good.
All right. So after watching yesterday's game, I've come to the conclusion it's just classic Chargers being the Chargers, losing to one of their division rivals. At the end of the day, yeah, it's going to be one of their division rivals. It's always a close game between them. But there's no reason they should have lost this badly to Denver. With such a terrible score they have, or such horrible standings they have right now.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely awful game. And, you know, you just see history of their bad kicking, bad time management. It was absolutely awful.
Why can't the Chargers find somebody who can make a field goal? It's unbelievable. They've been going through this for how long, Thomas? 3 years? 4 years? I mean, my goodness.
It's been more than that, I feel like. I feel like this is something that pops up every other year.
Do we need to get Rolf Benerschke back here kicking? I mean, every game that John Carney's better.
But I was about to say, that's the only guy we can remember that was reliable.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. They missed an extra point yesterday. Yeah. They missed field goals. They've cost themselves so many games on that. It's a good point, Chris.
And the part that really upsets me is seeing what's-his-face kicker right now for Jacksonville that was just for the Chargers.
Josh Lambeau. Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, you get to somewhere else and all of a sudden they can make
them. The grass is greener on that side.
The grass is much smoother. There's no excuse for playing like that. Good call, Chris. Appreciate that. You want to jump in, 833-288-0973. Will, did we get a winner yet in our trivia? Oh, we got
it? We did.
Okay.
Who was the winner? I believe Anthony from San Diego.
Good name, Anthony.
Anthony?
I don't know. Let me go through all the chats that these two are going through about how bad the Chargers are so I can find it.
Wait, who's having this chat?
Will and Thomas are just going off.
Well, we got one Chargers fan and one hating Patriot fan over here.
I have
here.
Will saying, bleeping gave up a fake punt for the second straight week. They scored on the play right after Thomas says 14 penalties, 10 in the first half.
Of course he did. Did he give any Patriots stats in there, too?
No, but I called him out. I said, wait a second, aren't you a Patriots fan? And he said, you can be a fan of both teams.
Oh, he's a closet.
Anyway,
he's
Anthony from San Diego. Fan.
Anthony gets the tickets to go see Not So Silent Night, December 9th at Del Mar Arena. Congratulations, Anthony. You'll see 30 Seconds to Mars, AJR, L. King, Alice Merton, and the rest of them all there. Because you knew that the only player ever to win a Super Bowl MVP award for the Kansas City Chiefs was Len Dawson. Nice job, quarterback for the Chiefs back there. And you might have seen Len Dawson over the years doing some work. He used to host the HBO NFL weekly segment with Nick Bonacani, before they went to what they have now, Inside the NFL, you know, the weekly show.
Now it's
with Phil Simms and Boomer. And the original,
James Brown, I think.
Yeah, the original guys was Len Dawson and Nick Bonacani would sit around and talk about games. So Len Dawson was a pretty good quarterback. Not, you know, Hall of Fame. I think I'd have to look up if he was in the Hall of Fame. He'd be on the borderline for Len Dawson. Anyway, congratulations. How are you, Scraby, by the way, to watch a game with?
He seems like he'd be easy to watch a game with.
No, I get pretty crazy.
I can't see you getting crazy.
Like, who do you get crazy for?
The 49ers are my team.
Oh, that's right. By definition, you're kind of a Looney Tune then.
I guess. I don't know why that has anything to do with anything.
I used to live with a 49er fan back after college, and he was... But they were great then. That was the Montana days. Mm. But when they lost...
Well, you probably couldn't stand being around them then.
Couldn't stand being around them.
Len Dawson, Pro Football Hall of Famer, 1987.
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it. Yeah, Len Dawson got there.
Can we talk about some of the NFL storylines before we go to break?
Of course.
First, let's talk about the terrible broken leg that happened, Alex Smith. I mean,
yeah.
That thing snapped in two different places.
Ah.
Tibia and fibia, I believe, were broken in this tackle. I watched that one live.
How many bones do you have in your leg? Don't you only have two?
Two.
He broke both of them?
Emergency surgery?
You have your femur, too. That's up a little higher, but, you know.
Man. That's a tough one. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Felt bad for Alex Smith. And how long was Theismann out when it happened to him?
He never played again.
Saying that because of the technological advances, Alex Smith will be able to play, but Joe Theismann didn't have that luxury when he got hurt.
Right. But he may not play for a while. I mean, I'm not talking about just the rest of this season. Will Alex Smith be able to come back next season? Here's Jay Gruden talking about that injury, the Washington coach.
Injuries, obviously, Alex Smith, he broke his tibia and fibula and fracture. He'll need surgery right away. I haven't seen anything of the injury. I know it was very painful for him and heartbreaking for a lot of people. You know, he's a great guy and a hard worker and one of the key leaders on his football team. So these things happen in pro football, unfortunately. Just hate to see them happen to a guy like Alex. But knowing the type of guy he is, I think he'll bounce back.
It was just a bad day all around for Alex. But he was having his worst game of the season. He had turned the ball over, I think it was
two or three times
in that game. He had done that all season. He had only turned the ball over.
Yeah, Washington played well enough to win that game, but it was not a good day for Alex Smith. And then his coach, though, I don't want to hear that again, but Jay Gruden sounded like he was reading from a coach's manual there.
Right?
He did not sound like his heart was really into this. I mean, it really broke his heart that his quarterback just broke his leg in two. I bet it was painful. For him.
I heard it was really painful.
Yeah, I heard it was a little painful for him. He's a good guy.
What tipped you off there, Coach, when he took his helmet off and just laid down flat? Yeah,
when his leg was pointing the wrong way?
Yeah. I mean, that was a crazy comment by Jay Gruden there. He didn't really sound like he cared at all.
Speaking of the Grudens,
ooh,
did we see the little spat on the sideline between Derek Carr and John Gruden?
Maybe they should do it every week because they
got
they won.
A W, right?
I can't believe the Raiders won a game, man. Josh Rosen, by the way, look, you don't pop off until you can do it.
Right.
I think that's the lesson for Josh
Rosen. I think
he
was supposed to make like a whole bunch of teams like
regret
it.
I was the number 10 pick. The first nine teams will never live it down. I will be the greatest quarterback of all time, and you blew it. Good. Think that. I want you to think
that. Keep that inside.
But just keep
it
to yourself. Don't hit the send button.
Don't press in.
Yeah.
Don't
just
press
keep
in.
It to yourself because Josh Rosen is an ugly looking quarterback.
He is.
Fitzgerald barreled him out on a couple of touchdown passes, but that's all he could do against the Raiders. He threw, I think, three picks. Two or three, and you lose to a team that's not even trying to win.
We're quick on the Gruden-Carr situation.
Yeah.
I don't blame Gruden yesterday. I watched a sequence of play in which they had to call timeout. They go to the sideline, they get the play, they come back out. He has to call another timeout. Mind you, it's a penalty. You cannot call back-to-back timeouts in the NFL. Derek Carr couldn't get these guys lined up right. He's changing the play. And you could just see in Gruden's face the frustration of, we just called a timeout to choose a play so you didn't have to do this yet. Here we are again taking a 5-yard penalty.
Here we are discussing this again. Why are you back over here?
I honestly felt his pain in that particular sequence of plays right there.
Well, I've felt the... What do you think Gruden's going to eventually do? Is he going to get there?
Bob is outside our window giving us a hard time right now.
Why? Because
the game is getting
Duke's
out of
winning? Bob Bollinger, our general manager, is like we talked about us the way we watch. You watch a Laker game, I watch a Bulls or Dolphin game. He's pacing the hallway with a 25-point lead right now in the second half. He's
yes,
so crazy.
Yes, he is.
But he loves his Duke Blue Devils, and Essex just obviously can't keep up with them. 71-46. We'll get the rest of the scores and a sports update here shortly. Then back as we keep rolling here on a Monday afternoon. The Big Five is coming up. Scraby, you got anything fun coming up in the Big Five?
I got a lot fun. Middle fingers, other stuff too.
Middle fingers. All right. Whose middle finger are we going to be talking about? We'll find out when we return. I'm Chris Ello.
I'm Tony Gwynn Jr.
Gwynn and Chris.
San Diego's new home for Padres baseball, 97.3. The Fan.
Prize package. Okay, go. Big Five.
It's now time for the most electrifying segment in sports radio. Gwynn and Chris go through the best of the rest in the Big Five. Number five.
All right, guys, the NBA had a pretty big offensive weekend. We just talked about LeBron James scoring 51, but Charlotte Hornets star Kemba Walker, he scored 60 points in his win on Saturday. And 10 players let me start this over. I don't know what is going on with my reading
skills.
There
goes the clean read.
It moved on me. All right.
Scraby!
10 players had 50-plus points last year, and so far in this young season, 6 players have had 50 points in a game. In order, it goes Kemba Walker with 60, Klay Thompson with 52, Steph Curry with 51, LeBron with 51, Blake Griffin with 50, and D. Rose with 50. So, Chris, you're up first. With all these inflated numbers, do you think basketball is going to have to adopt some sort of, quote, live ball era to their stats because the game has changed so much?
First of all, I need to correct the host. That would be you. Kemba Walker scored 60 points in a loss.
Oh, sorry.
That was a loss.
Okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, the 60 points doesn't count. Because if you score 60 in a loss, that's nothing. Jimmy Butler hit a game-winning shot to beat Charlotte in that game. Secondly, no, I like what the NBA is doing right now. They're not letting them play defense. Scores are bigger. Points are higher. They needed that. We went through a whole decade of 87 to 85 games. And now we're into a new era with 110 to 108. And I don't mind it.
Okay. All right. Tony, what do you think?
I think eventually there will be some type of correction. I don't know when it'll be. They have to level it out at some point, right? It's going to be no different. I said this a while ago. They might find themselves in the same situation baseball's in right now with the home run. It was great when it first started. Now people are kind of, they're not as excited about it anymore.
Football's the same way with all the high scores.
Right. I think eventually we will see all those sports really make some type of correction, I think, at some point.
Number 4.
I'm all flustered now because I messed that up.
Why? It's an everyday occurrence.
Don't hey.
The might as well get it out of the way.
I guess. Oh! Love it. The Bryce Harper, Manny Machado sweepstakes will be in full force here in the next few weeks, and one team that has commented about it is the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals president Bill DeWitt says, quote, "We could do it, sure. It's about considering putting all our eggs in one basket. We have the payroll room," end quote. Tony, will the addition of either Bryce Harper or Manny Machado put the Cardinals over the top for a World Series caliber team?
Man, I don't know. I don't think they were that close to begin with. So I guess the answer is no. I think they could get one of those guys that had inconsistent pitching really all season long. They had issues with the back end of that bullpen as well. So they got a couple of different areas they can address. And offensively, that really wasn't one of their issues, I don't believe. I mean, obviously you add one of those two guys, your offense is going to take a step up. But they have other issues in order to get to the World Series.
Chris?
Bryce Harper didn't get the Washington Nationals anywhere.
Touche.
And he had a better team around him than he would have around him, I think, in St. Louis. Cardinals have some young pitching that, you know, figures to get better. But, no, I don't think one guy can get you to a World Series in baseball,
no.
Whether it's Machado or Harper or anybody. Even a star, superstar pitcher who goes 21-2, like a Kershaw. You can't win a World Series on one guy. Baseball's too much of a team sport. So, no to your question.
Number 3.
Warriors are in the news a lot this year. A lot more than they probably want to be in the news, because they are 1-4 in the last 5. And during the Warriors' 112-109 loss to the Mavericks in Dallas on Saturday night, Kevin Durant approached a fan seated on the baseline and told them point blank, quote, "Watch the bleeping game and shut the bleep up," end quote. It's unknown what was said to KD that provoked his response.
Something real disrespectful, I guarantee.
Why do you think that makes him a bad guy?
But in the video, it shows him walking up to the fan, leaning into the fan, and saying it to the fan's face.
Is it any different than when the fans lean into the floor and say it to the player's face?
Yes, because the fan's not getting paid millions of dollars. So,
become a whooping boy because you're getting paid millions of dollars.
If the fan is saying bad things,
you are the typical.
So typical.
If the fan is saying horrible things, then yes, they deserve.
So we're just going
to
pretend like he's not.
But you're just assuming that he didn't. Look, here's the thing.
I haven't even asked the question yet. Bear with me on this one.
You haven't asked the question. We
bear
apologize.
With me on this one, because it's
going to coming across the table.
Both of us are.
It's going to sound crazy.
All right, here we go,
Chris.
What
is Kevin Durant just too sensitive to play pro sports?
No. And now I'm going to come across the table and whip you.
Whoa!
Basketball, I think there's a lot of fans. And as a referee, I know that I hear them. But I think in the NBA, too, you pay your $150, $200, $300, $400, $600 to sit courtside. You think you can yell and say whatever you want with impunity. And most of the time, you can't.
Good word, impunity.
But on this one, Kevin Durant and
he's
had
not
enough.
Afraid to break out the SAT word.
No. It may not have even been these fans. It might have been the last 10
right,
games.
Right.
But Kevin Durant just snapped, and I think it's funny, and I think it's about time a player said something. And it's a lot smarter than what old Ron Artest did way back in the
yeah.
day.
Oh, yeah.
So would you rather that be happening?
Yeah. Well, no, of
straight.
Course
okay,
not.
So pick your poison.
All right. I know what Tony's. I know it. Tony's giving me this look like, don't even look at me. And
I just
ask the
wish as
again.
A referee I could yell back what Kevin Durant yelled back once in a while. I would like to do that.
Can't referees do that? They have the ability
I guess
to kick people
can.
out of the whole arena.
Yes, but you normally make things worse for yourself if you do that because then that person's out of the arena.
That's
but then
I
the rest
be a referee.
Of the, then the rest of the people hate you even more. So
all right, Tony. I would sure enough take full advantage of all referee powers.
You'd be kicking. You'd clear
hey,
the
gone.
Gym.
Get out.
Clear the gym.
Hey, you too. You're gone too. Get on out of here.
As a guy who says that the best fans in baseball are the San Francisco Giants fans, get under your skin so much. Is Kevin Durant just too sensitive to play post sports?
No, I think Kevin Durant is a human being, is what he is. Eventually, you reach a tipping point, and as Chris said, it may not have been those specific comments that got him there. It could have been the 10 previous games that he was just taking it and not saying anything. I think at this point, we know Kevin Durant is. I don't want to say sensitive, but he's very aware of what people are saying about him, and there's nothing wrong with that. Eventually, you just get tired of hearing it, and sometimes you might have an outburst like KD did right there.
John Wall yelled blank you at his coach over the weekend.
That's okay, though.
Oh, that's
oh,
fine.
Yeah, because he's getting paid
$1 million. That's not
they
a story
together.
To you.
No, it's not,
to
actually.
To you, that's not a story.
Not at all.
Yeah.
The Saints crushed the Eagles 48-7 yesterday, but in the fourth quarter with a score 38-7, the Saints decided to go for it on 4th-and-7. They scored a long 37-yard touchdown on that play to Alvin Kamara, putting the score at 45-7. And Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins wasn't too happy with the Saints' decision and ended up flipping off the Saints' sideline. But after the game, Jenkins said he had nothing but love for his former team and former coach Sean Payton, but was frustrated by losing. So, Tony, do you have any problems with the Saints going for it on 4th-and-7, up 38-7 in the fourth quarter?
I mean, it's a little bush league. I will say that. I totally understand. We were just talking about the Chargers keeping their foot on the gas. I totally get that. But you're up 38-7. And it's 4th-and-7. It's not like it's 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-1.
And you're throwing a bomb down the sidelines.
And you didn't just do enough to get the first down. You went for the absolute jugular. So
you got a running back doing a wheel route out of the backfield.
I think it's a little bit of a bush league play. I totally get Malcolm Jenkins' frustration. You know, he understands what's going on, and that guarantee you that middle finger was just in the moment getting that frustration off of losing.
Same thing Tony said. And the other thing is the Saints got to be a little careful because if you're up 38-7, you got to get Drew Brees out of a game. I mean, you lose and you get an injured to a Kamara running that wheel route.
Done.
With a 30-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's a pretty bad mistake. So be careful when you put your foot on the gas.
Could you imagine if one of those two guys got hurt? Oh,
I'm just saying. There goes Kamara down the side. Uh-oh.
He gone.
So yeah, be careful.
We could talk about, we just have a little bit of time, but Clay Helton and the Trojans, they've had a rough year. They lost to UCLA 34-27 on Saturday. They fell to 5-6 and are in danger of missing a bowl game for the first time since 2011. ESPN LA's Arash Markazi was on the Dan Cilio show this morning saying that he doesn't think that Clay Helton will have a job next year. Chris, do you think Clay Helton is going to lose his job?
Yes, I do. They're going to lose to Notre Dame next week. They'll finish 5-7, and USC not going to a bowl game is a fireable offense at that school. And, you know, they're not the only ones. I mean, UCLA's not going to a bowl game this year. Florida State's probably not going to a bowl game this year. I can list 4 or 5 other teams that are normally bowl-bound that are just having bad years, but USC, you can't afford that.
Tony, we only got time for you to give a yes or no question answer.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's all for the Big Five from Gwynn and Chris on 97.3, The Fan.
You see how Scrappy does me? You see how he just kicks me to the curb? Hey, yes or no, Tony?
I don't like him.